I'm in what some have described as the beautifulest aircraft
ever.
You're listening to Extended.
As a five-year-old saying, right, let's start. Right, 3, 2.
Hosts, Peter Johnson from XTP Media, Gareth Stringer from Global Aviation Resource, and Tim Robinson from the Royal Aeronautical Society.
Hello there, I'm Peter Johnson, and welcome to episode 58 of Aerospace Radio Station Extended. A while ago, Tony Whiting reminded me of the importance of local airfields and general aviation. Whether in the UK or around the world, it's still the single highest source of flying training. This is still the main feeder system for the military, civilian and aerospace pilots for today and the near future. So I decided to go along to my two closest airfields and find out how they're doing. I also have the chance to see what support group the Light Aircraft Association is all about. First, I'm off to Hensbridge to talk to Neil Wilson from the Light Aircraft Association, and then we get to visit Emma Hughes at Compton Abbas. After the chat with Emma, you can hear the Visiting Harvard start up. Neil, welcome to Extended.
Good to be here. Thank you very much for the invitation.
Well, we're at Hensbridge, lovely little airfield here. Before we talk about general aviation, can we just talk a little bit about the airfield? Tell us a little bit about Hensbridge.
Well, it was first built in 1943 on the old Hensbridge Marsh, because the it was to Yeovilton. It was a secondary airfield to Yeovilton they used for practice. So they would have all the operational airfield aircraft at Yeovilton,
yeah,
and come over here during the day. Bring some of the aircraft over here and have all the training aircraft here.
Right, okay.
And what it was uniquely for was it was only one of two airfields in the whole of the UK that had five runways.
Ah.
So it had parallel runways as you come in along a place called John Porter Avenue. That was the main runway in those days. The one we've got now has a dummy deck on it. And if you walked out there, you'd see, or even from the air, you'd see there's part of it is concrete.
Yeah.
And the concrete piece is the length of about HMS Victorious of the aircraft carrying the Second World War. And what they had was they'd have the arrestor wires. You see when the aircraft comes in, they have the arrestor wires and use that. They had those there. So you could go, say, do left-hand circuits, practicing on that, and right-hand circuits on another runway to do ordinary landing. So it was very, very active from the war. That was in 43, and 2013, on its 70th anniversary, we've got a little memorial out here, and we had an open day. And went all through, you know, had a barge down here and thanked the people and, you know, commemorated all the things. One or two people actually went away from here and passed away, of course, in the war, etc., and didn't come back. So we had a nice little ceremony on that day.
Lovely.
And then the airfield was owned by Bristow.
Okay.
Who used Wessex and, you know, helicopters and such like, onto a chap called Tony Young and now to Jeff Jarvis and his team. And it's now been developed the last 10, 15 years of these hangars on there, and now looks, you know, a proper well-run airfield.
Yeah.
Rather than going to disrepair, etc., the actual airfield itself is well looked after. All the grass looks pretty green. We've got some skylarks around here this era and such like. And, it's well looked after and used.
You talked about the five runways. What's active then now in terms of use? Is it just a single runway use? Is it two runways?
Yeah, we just got the single runway now, which is a bit of a shame because we always seem to get probably sort of crosswinds these days. I know the last winds or two, just the way the north and south winds have been. But it's a good, you know, well-used runway, pretty well looked after. And the others have been used, you can see, for other commercial activities out in the rest of the airfield, which isn't inside the UK, you know, the airfield was in jurisdiction anymore.
Right, okay. And just before we hit record, we saw the air ambulance coming in. That's quite active from here. Is that permanently based here as well?
Yes, the Somerset and Dorset air ambulance, it goes from here and goes all the way up, of course, they go down to Southampton, Bristol, etc., taking patients, unfortunately, to those sort of places. So they need to go there with a fantastic real run service with two or three pilots taking shifts and the paramedics over there.
Yeah.
And they, of course, have priority. So every time they want to come in and and out. If any air activity is going on, everybody has to stay on the ground or clear off out of the way so they can then get priority to operate safely.
Right, okay. Well, then the future for general aviation is often questioned in this country, and I've been one of those people who have dropped out of general aviation, although I still have a healthy interest. How is general aviation at the moment? What's the health of it and places like Kensridge?
I'd say it's probably on a scale of 100, about probably 70. It's going pretty well. It's probably not as good as it was 20 or 30 years ago, because a lot more flying clubs are going around in other airfields. Never been one here as far as a flying club, flying school.
Yeah.
Probably not as many people have probably learned to fly as there would have been in those 20 or 30 years ago. I mean, for instance, Cessna and Piper, especially Cessna, had their own production over in France called Reims Cessna, at the airfield at Reims. Built 172s and 150s, and there are lots of people buying aircraft, lots of flying schools, because they wanted lots of pilots. They wanted lots of pilots in the way, of course, that's how you learn to fly. Now there's other ways to learn to fly. Commercial, we need hundreds of thousands of pilots between the next 20 years for all the big commercial Airbuses and Boeings.
Yeah.
But of course, a lot of those students are going straight from university to simulators and things, and you know, going to these other flying schools.
The traditional route is still to learn on small light aircraft and to progress through. You know, what's the future like for those people who are going to go on along those sorts of routes?
Still very strong, actually. I was going to come to that, because it's interesting that there's different ways you can go about it. There's different licenses you can get and different ways to learn to fly. Now, a lot of people look at it and say, oh, it's quite expensive. It could be £6,000-£8,000 to learn to fly, which it could be on ordinary PPL. You can get an NPPL, which is a national license, which means you, once you pass, you generally wouldn't go out of the UK airspace. So you couldn't go to France, etc. That's cheaper, near about £5,500.
Yeah.
Or you can learn the microlight license and go to somewhere, perhaps near Henley on Thames, Chiltern Park. You learn the microlight. That's probably going to cost you about £2,500-£3,000. And then you can then from there do another little conversion course after getting a bit of experience
for
5 hours and go up to your NPPL or PPL from there onwards. So there's actually cheaper ways of doing it.
Right.
It's different ways for different advantages and different opportunities for different people, depending on what we want to do.
Yeah.
Some people just want to have what we call a bimble. You take off from Henry, you go down the coast, have a look at the, you know, the Cern Abbas Giant or something, they come back and then have a cup of tea, go to Compton, Old Sarum or somewhere, have a nice cup of tea there and come back with your friends. So, and others want to go further, go touring, go over to Europe or up north to Scotland and such like. So,
And just at Hensridge then, how busy is this airfield? You said it was obviously busier at the weekend. How many aircraft movements would we likely to see on a nice sunny day here?
Well, a nice sunny day, it depends. I mean, I would say we're probably on a Saturday or Sunday, we get about often 30 or 40 aeroplanes in here. Not as many as some, but more than perhaps people thought. Maybe I'll offer some food down here, as a lot of airfields do.
Yeah, there's a cafe here. You can have teas and coffees. You watch the aircraft. It's great for that.
Yeah, and you get a good, if you're a photographer, it's great because you actually get the sun behind you, which is a southerly sun, so you look into the north, which is great, because usually you always seem to, if you're a photographer, you always seem to be pointing into the sun, don't you? But here it works very, very well. And here in Compton, they've both got two different sort of business plans, if you like. We've got an airfield with a cafe here. They've got a restaurant with an airfield. Works very, very well. Yeah. Fantastic. I think both facilities have got a really good business plan, and in that respect, offer an awful lot for the, not just the UK pilot, but also for the general public. You want to go and watch aeroplanes and meet up. I think they've got a fantastic atmosphere up there and works here too.
Right, okay. Well, let's talk about the industry. We've seen lots of change recently. How are organisations like the Civil Aviation Authority and the other regulatory bodies helping general aviation?
Actually, very, very well. A few years ago, I think the CAA were probably known for being a fairly immovable object, seemed to be not really helping very much. Like if you worked at Heathrow or Gatwick or somewhere, everybody else seemed to get a pretty poor slice of the action. But actually, I had this thing called the red tape challenge about 2 or 3 years ago.
Yep.
And that really was looked upon as a big breakthrough, because people put down their views and what they thought might be a good idea and such like. And they've actually deregulated a lot of things, made it easier for passenger flying, taking people for flights, you know, air experience flights, for instance. People to learn to fly much easier. The airspace has been looked at. That's a big thing, of course, has been the airspace grab. Some of the airfields have big airports have wanted more space, giving the private pilot like ourselves smaller areas to move them. But actually, they've been very good. They really helped an awful lot. You can now, I mean, who would have thought that even, well, 5-10 years ago, you could go for flight in a Spitfire?
Yes.
But now you can. You know, it's fantastic. And how popular is that? You know, that sort of thing is brilliant. It means that people can fulfill their ambitions, can share their experience with their friends. And, you know, it's just made aviation much more accessible to people. So I must say, I think the CA have been really, really excellent in that respect.
Excellent. Okay. Well, let's go on to talk about you and your role. You're involved with the Light Aircraft Association. Tell us what that is.
Okay, the Light Aircraft Association, or LAA, started in 1946, so it happens to be their 70th anniversary, so you're going to be doing this interview at a very good time.
I thought it was only recently, Neil.
No, it started as the Ultralight Association in 1946, then it went to the PFA, the Popular Flying Association, which is based at Shoreham, and then about, I believe, 12 to 15 years ago, they moved to Terweston, the middle of the countryside, which is, middle of England, rather, near Silverstone, and it became the Light Aircraft Association a little while after that. I think about 2008 came the LAA. And what they do is, there's really, if you look upon an ordinary type of aeroplane, a 1, 2, or 4-seat aeroplane, it generally, most people are going to be really fairly similar.
Yeah.
Like a Cherokee, Piper Cherokee, or a Cessna. If you own that type of aeroplane, very good aeroplane, no doubt about that, you take it to a hangar one day, once a year, for its MOT and its service, as you do with your car, and it's looked after by a proper certified engineer.
Yeah.
He's got a license for that by the CAA, and he's made sure that it gets all the right bits and pieces, obviously, for its service. You get your certificate, and away you go for another year. The LAA look after, again, single and two, up to 4-seat aeroplanes, but it's called a permit to fly.
Right, okay.
Now, you can either buy that aeroplane, of course, it's already been built by a factory in the past, for instance. It might be a syndicate, two or three of your mates, or it could be you could build your own aeroplane.
I thought it was only self-builds that the LAA was responsible for. It's not.
No, not at all. They've got planes like, say, a Jodel that came out of France. You know, it was fully built 40 or 50 years ago. Very popular aeroplane, little bent wing, very, very safe aeroplane, 2 or 4-seaters.
Right.
A friend of mine, for instance, he's got one. It's probably worth, what, £15,000? I know, you know, people often say, gosh, I couldn't go be a pilot. It costs way too much money. You've got to be a millionaire to do that, because they can look at all Learjets and the Gulfstreams. Actually, £12,000 to £15,000, get a nice little Jodel, two or three of your mates, away you go for $5,000 each. You know. And I went to an air show recently, an air model show at Yeovilton, and people were saying, well, really, I'll do this type of modelling because I can't afford to go flying. They said, well, how much is that little plane now? I said, well, that Jodel was about £12,000. Blimey, my Ducati was more than that. And you think, oh, that's interesting, isn't it? You
know, Some of those models are probably more than that.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's interesting. People just think, you know, it's actually a real rich man's sport, and it's not.
Yeah.
You know, two or three of you get together. And the point of the LAA is you do your own maintenance yourself.
Right, okay.
But we have, around the country, about 400 inspectors, well-established, experienced engineers who will come along. They're all regulated by Ken Craigie, the head of inspector at Terweston, all under his wing.
Yeah.
Make sure that paperwork's done rightly. Everything's been correct. If you've got, say, split pins, obviously you've got to make sure it's been done. Your air filter's been put in. Everything has to be signed off by an inspector. It goes up to LAHQ. They make sure everything's done correctly, sign the piece of paperwork, and yeah, that's your bit of paper then for another year's flying. That's called a permit to fly.
Right, and how does the CAA get involved? Do you have to have some sort of interface with them to, I suppose, record all of that, or how does that work?
Yes, I mean, the CAA, if you like, let LAA get on with it, just as the British Microlite Association look after the microlites, and the Glide Association, the BGA, British Glide Association, look after the gliders. So they can't do everything, as you imagine. Otherwise, Gap, we could have, 15 floors of people. So they let these other bodies like ourselves, properly governed bodies, we come under their umbrella, if you like, but they let us get on with it in other areas. So it really frees up their time. It means you've got more expert people looking after that type of aeroplane rather than having someone trying to do everything.
Yeah.
And that works particularly well.
Right, okay. And it's a membership organisation.
Yes. You can start off just at £58 a year.
Right.
And you would get a magazine every month, a monthly e-letter, generally most months. So you get into our rally, this is in September, where you come and look at a lot of aeroplanes there, usually about 1,200 aeroplanes turn up. You get into the rally for free, I think.
As a member,
as a member, obviously. Yeah. If you're not a member, you get in.
Much
reduced.
Right.
Well worth coming. So you get to see all the manufacturers there and the kit suppliers and things. But it means actually you can be part of the LAA. I mean, I'm not a pilot myself.
Okay? Right, okay.
I do marketing for the LAA, I do advertising, and we do take some pictures for them, write some articles. But the point is, though, that anybody like myself, when I turned up in Henstridge a few years ago, 7 or 8 years ago, you know, family doing other things, I came here one day, and just chap I'd seen, he said, "Oh, you're often hanging about in different airfields. Why don't you join the LAL, the Wessex Strut?" I said, "Well, what's the Wessex Strut? Thought I had to be a pilot." Just, you know, naive like that. And he said, "Oh, no, you can just belong to it. Now I'm the chairman of it and do the newsletter every month. And it's like a hobby. It's great."
Let's just come back then. You mentioned Strut there. Each of the local and regional groups of the LAA is called a Strut, isn't it?
Yeah. So you've got the main body, if you like, the main wing, which is the LAA, and support that, we have Struts.
Okay.
Okay. Just like the Tiger Moth has Struts in between its two wings, you see.
So we're the Henstridge Strut here.
This is the Wessex Strut, based at Henstridge, yeah.
Right, okay. So tell us a little bit about that. What's involved? Who's involved? What sorts of things do you do?
Well, that was started in 1976 by Tony Young, who happens still to live over at the other side of the airfield over there, a company called Polyfibre. He started it, and he said mistakenly one day to himself, or to somebody who was the editor, "Oh, I must try and we'll try and get a strut down our way one day." So the next thing he found out, the Light Aviation magazine, it suddenly said, "Tony Young wants to start a strut." So suddenly, by asking a question, of course, he got himself stuck. So he got himself lumbered. Yeah. He formed it, and about 30 people formed that Wessex Strut. And 40, it happens to be 40 years this year, so it happens to be our birthday as well. It's a bit coincidental.
Wow, a couple of anniversaries.
That's right, it is. And next year will be our 40th anniversary flying. We had our flying just, 2 weeks ago? We just got away with it on that Saturday. Yes. Well, sorry, the Sunday after the lovely Saturday, but it was we had about 30 aeroplanes come in and had old roasts and things, and people enjoy themselves. So it's good fun.
Lovely.
Looking forward to expand it next year. But the Wessex Strut meets every month, generally in the clubhouse here. We have talkers come on about safety, the experience of flying different types of aircraft. We've had a gentleman called Ray Rawbone, who was actually based here in 1943, flying Seafires out of here. So he's made our honorary president, if you like, our honorary life member, still with us, living in Henstridge Village. So we get people like that come give us tours, and it's talks rather, and it's just great. So we can all learn off each other, you know, find out what's going on. We've just had recently a chap, I say, did a safety evening about how when you come, you fly, you come into an airfield, which the best way to come in and actually join the circuit is, it's known, so you come in downwind and land, with other people about maintenance, about their experiences flying off to say to France and such like. So it's good. It's like a social scene, really.
Okay, well, let's come back to the annual event, described as I think the greatest gathering of light aircraft outside of the USA. I saw it mentioned as, and that's your event in September, and that's the Sciwell annual rally. Tell us a little bit about that then.
That's been going almost how many years? Many years. And it used to be various different airfields, Cranfield, Kemble, and it's been at Sciwell now the last 10 years.
Yeah.
It's going to be really nice, because we generally have anything from 800 to 1,200 aircraft turn up, the type of aircraft you generally see most airfields. People fly in on the Friday, then stay Saturday and Sunday if they wish. They can come in for one day or fly in for 2 or 3 days. There have been manufacturers there, kit manufacturers, build manufacturers, there'd be the supply people from navigation to the weather, all types of people from headsets, etc. Everybody there. There's also a Saturday night band put on for people to have a meal in one of the big hangars, and they can all have a bit of a dance and a boogie if they want to.
Right, okay.
There's an award ceremony generally. This year happens to be the 20th anniversary, so we'll be getting some special guests, some old aircraft, some new aeroplanes, new ones for the future, electric types. Yeah. And old types of biplanes and things that have been significant, not just to LAA aeroplanes, but to British aircraft like the Tiger Moths and things like that as well.
Okay. And that's the big annual event, but you mentioned the magazine as well, and you're involved with the magazine. Tell us a bit about the magazine, what people can expect to see in the magazine.
It's put together every month by a chap called Brian Hope, and he has been the editor now for some years. It's a really good way of showing light aviation at its best, because he gets people to write about projects, project news, for instance. If they want to build an aeroplane, then the experience is there. They can say, "I'm going to build a Bristol," and people in the past then can say, "Well, I did this, I got up to this point here, and I did that," and they let them know what's going on.
Right, okay.
It then has about safety spotting there, people doing tours. I did an article recently. I went off to California last year with a friend of mine, and we toured some of the air shows out there, and it shows people. I did that article to inspire others to go. We also have a piece called Meet the Members, and you've got nearly 8,000 members in the LAA. So we find out with people all these experiences, what they can bring to the table. Sure. So we might interview them and find out that they built their own aeroplane, or they've had this aircraft for 30 years. They then had to go and recover it, because after so many years, obviously, the covering, the fibre needs changing. So they go and do that. And it just gives a lot of, you know, it's all about the LAA, what happens, and the type of experiences, what people can help with. And it's a great thing, because if you learn to fly, and you then learn to fly, you think, right, now what?
Yeah.
You go and hire your aeroplane from the flying club, which is great, but then you want to go perhaps a little bit and do something yourself. What type of aircraft do you buy? Do you go with a mate of yours, a syndicate? So it's, the LAA can help you with that, and Light Aviation Magazine has that sort of information for
right,
you.
Right, okay. So the outlook's good. The outlook's a bit rosier than I thought as I walked in the door earlier on a damp and wet British day. But, you know, things aren't too bad, are they?
No, UK, I think UK overall is going very well. I couldn't, it was in the doldrums a few years ago with recession.
Sure.
That hit everybody, obviously, when people start losing jobs, they start, you know, they have to cut back, don't they? But actually, it seems to be gathering momentum again, UK light aviation. Probably the big battle we got is some of the developers. People suddenly, you know, want to go and brownfield sites. Unfortunately, a lot of these lovely green airfields, look at us now, we've got lots of green grass out there.
Yes, it's a brownfield site, though. It's industrial.
Yeah, it's a real shame. It does seem to be rather in the face of what it's just, you know, it's described as. So it's a shame, but, you know, there's lots of military airfields out there. I do wonder myself, when you see these civil aircraft like this, or airfields like this, offering people to go flying, teaching people to go flying, being an amenity because it's transport. I mean, occasionally a friend of mine might take me up to Terwestern for a meeting, bring me back.
Yeah.
Dance like better that in 40 minutes than it is going up the A34 and the 303 on a Friday afternoon, you know. So if we lose them, they've gone, literally. We've lost the runway and it's gone. I do wonder, I see there's a lot of military airfields sitting there doing absolutely nothing. Wouldn't that be a better way to sell off?
Well, let's find out then. How can we find out about the LAA online, Neil? Where can we find you? Are you on social media?
We're on Twitter. There's Facebook would be the best thing to look for. Yeah. Facebook would be better. They look after that at HQ. And also our website is www.laa.uk.com. And look onto that. And within that, you'll see how you can get involved in flying, the type of aircraft we look after, members' benefits as well. It's one thing I forgot to mention. We set up that if you remember, you can get so much money off Europe car, hire car, if you're going around the UK and the world.
All right, member benefits,
hotel
orders,
all that sort of thing. It's really good. So that's a good little thing to be, you know, in addition of. And it's information there about how you can get involved. And if you don't want to be a pilot, you don't have to be. Just come and join us.
Yeah.
But, you know, be part of it. Then you can learn to fly, getting, you know, involved in your local strut or the LAA, and we can guide you and, you know, send me an email. Obviously, I can send information back to you.
And one final question then, Neil. Do you have to be a UK resident to be a member?
No, not at all. Funny enough, I'm just sorting out at the moment a tour of Britain for the part of our 70th anniversary. We'd be going from Duxford to Perth, down in Scotland, up to Wales and back for a 6-day tour if people want to join us.
Yeah.
But actually, there's people coming over from Poland, who are LA members, happen to live in Poland.
Okay.
Another chap in France wants to come and join us, so that's great. So you have to be an LA member, but actually, you know, you don't have to be living over here, so that's no problem.
Well, thank you very much for having us here at Hensridge.
That's great to see you all, and please come along and see us. Weekends, obviously, there's more going on here, and they put on some food, so come and see us and say hello.
Event Fire Solutions is an independent fire and rescue service providing both preventative and reactive emergency services across the UK. As well as our main event management, we provide the support and equipment to deliver a safe and risk-free event. From fire appliances to medical vehicles, our fully trained and accredited staff will make your event a true success. If you need risk-related advice, investigation, medical or fire training, then we can deliver this for you. From the office to the airfield, we have the experience and the accreditation and most of all the skills to make your workplace event safe and risk-free. To find out more of how we can help you, look us up at eventfiresolutions.co.uk.
From across the globe, from the centre of aerospace, and now to you.
The Royal Aeronautical Society has a range of specialist groups, which focus on a specific domain or discipline. They form a vital interface between the Society and the world at large, and serve both the interests of enthusiasts and professionals through debate, conferences, lectures and other activities. Learn how you can get involved. Visit www.aerosociety.com.
I'm at what some have described as one of the most beautiful airfields in the world, and I'm with Emma Hughes, who's Operations Manager and Director at Compton Abbas Airfield. Emma, welcome to Extended.
Thank you very much.
Now, Emma, I'm here a fair bit. I've talked about the airfield on the show, but we've never really talked about it in any detail. So tell me about the airfield, a little bit about its history, where it is.
Okay, so we're situated between Blandford and Shaftesbury, 800 feet above sea level. We bought the airfield as a family company back in 1988. So we've been going for coming up to 30 years soon. Yeah. So myself and my sister, Laura, we run it on a day-to-day basis. I do the operational side and my sister does the food and drink side. Mum and Dad worked for BA and then branched out from there into aircraft sales. So this was a good opportunity to have a location for that. And it grew into flying training, experience flights and gradually built up to what it is today.
What's the history behind the airfield? How long has it been here before you guys turned up?
So there's been a few local reports that it was used unofficially throughout the war. But before we had it initially, it was farmland back in the 1950s.
Right, okay.
And from 1960 onwards, the farmer that was there bought a tiger moth, which is quite apt because we're obviously well known for our tiger moth flying now. He bought his tiger moth just to fly over his farmlands around and about, and then it got bought on as an airfield from there. It was quite a big gliding site, and now we do the flying training experience flights,
right,
and quite a few aircraft based with us.
Right. So, and it is, as I said, it is a very attractive location on a clear day, and it's not too clear today, but on a clear day you can see for a long way. But you did mention it's quite unusual. It's perched 800 feet above sea level, but it's also on the side of a hill. What sort of demands does that make?
It's, well, pros and cons, I guess. I mean, we do, it's a little bit windier and a little bit colder, but then airfields tend to be that anyway. But equally, it's just amazing being able to take off. You're already at such a height above the local area. The views are incredible as soon as you're airborne. And it's, I mean, for pilots that have been flying for years, as well as the experience of their first time going up, it's really special location-wise.
Well, I've had the Tiger Moth experience here. Absolutely fantastic. And we've talked about that a little bit on the show before. But I want to come back to your family story. Your mum and dad, that's Clive and Margaret, came down here 30-odd years ago. They've been in the industry for a while. What were they doing before they bought an airfield?
So mum was check-in,
right,
at Heathrow, and dad was operations Terminal 3.
Right,
so he started off at Heathrow. He sat outside the boss's door until they gave him a job from a very early age. So he's always been interested in aviation. My uncle flies, based at Dunk as well.
Right.
My cousin's aircraft paint business. It's just always been in the blood. I think from the age of 16 for dad, and then mum obviously got roped into it. Started off the... she really was the one that kickstarted the food side of things. When we picked up, it was just very casual, cup of tea and coffee and a biscuit. So her and my sister have really built it up, and hopefully it's a really enjoyable place to come and have some decent, well-priced food. And the runway terrace, the fact that you're so close to seeing the aircraft, is obviously quite unusual. Yeah, and something different for people to do.
And it is very popular, particularly on a sunny day and at the weekends. You've got a great restaurant. You've referred to it there, described as the best cakes in the southwest, and certainly the best cakes on an airfield. Is it all homemade fare?
We do quite a lot of homemade fare. Unfortunately, we don't make our own cakes. They're locally made, and they're handmade by a brilliant company in Gillingham.
Right.
But we'd all be here all night cooking and everything if we did the whole lot. But as much as we can source as possible is local. So we've got a butcher's that we source our meat from in Ludwell, just down the road. As I said, the cakes from Gillingham, local ice cream, and then local companies for fruit and vegetables, that kind of thing. So and also the drinks as well. We try to use local companies as much as possible, or give each other the support that we need. And then, yeah, fresh ingredients.
It is a lovely restaurant, and you can have a full meal, you can have snacks. There's a bar there as well, but you run events in the restaurant as well, don't you?
Yeah, so we have the next event we've got coming up is the 11th of June, with a date for the 12th of June if the 11th is bad weather. It's the American Fly-In, which is the first year that we have done that. The reason for doing it was that we've bought to Harvard recently, which we got in the middle of the summer last year. So we just thought, how can we base something around this new aircraft, which has brought quite a lot of excitement and enthusiasts up to have a look at it. We're going to have lots of American food, our Compton burgers, sundaes, milkshakes, all that kind of thing. So just really getting into theme. The Harvard will be doing flights, and we've got some really beautiful and quite rare other American aircraft that are based with us. We've got a Traveler 1929, I think it is, and a Stinson, which is one of only two in the UK. So yeah, we're really excited.
And the Vintage Fly-In as well later on this year, that's very popular as well. Then everyone comes in their vintage dress and that sort of thing. It really has a great feel, and although this is a very active airfield and it's quite big in terms of the setup, it feels very friendly.
Yeah, we try really hard to make it somewhere that people feel comfortable, whether they're coming up for a cup of tea or whether they have been based with us for 30 years with an aircraft. So because we do own and operate the whole thing, which I guess you could say partly hard work, partly luck.
Or madness.
Or madness. Right? Madness is probably the most apt word, yeah. We just try to include everybody and just provide a friendly atmosphere, because although, you know, we're regulated by the CAA, we're an accredited training organisation, we do place a large bit of emphasis on the safety and that side of things. But at the same time, we're aware that a lot of people that train with us want to do it because it's something that they love doing. So we just want to make the experience as enjoyable as possible for everybody.
Okay. Well, let's talk aeroplanes then. You're a pilot yourself. Did you learn to fly here?
I did. So I've been flying with Dad since I was probably about two.
Was Dad your instructor?
No. Right. No. The driving bit, it was enough for that, I think. I had an instructor. I did a few bits when I was 16, but then exams and things, and I went off to uni. So I came back and picked up where I left off with that, and I got my licence in 2008. And there's four girls that work behind the desk here, Michelle and Cara, as well as Laura and myself. Cara's learning, and Michelle's got her license, so
Now just talking about women in aviation, it's one of the things that strikes you when you come here, and there aren't enough, but you've made great emphasis to, I think, encourage that. And you talked about Michelle. I think I've spoken to Michelle and Clara. Why do you think that's so important?
I think that it can be, intimidating whether you're a man or a woman going into potentially talk about something, getting into flying, because it's something that a lot of people will approach with not necessarily any experience. But I think perhaps our atmosphere, and the fact that they're coming to see, you know, we've got our logos on our T-shirts and we're all professional, but we're also hopefully quite friendly, and people feel that they can come up and approach us and, you know, no questions too silly to ask. I think it's just making people feel as comfortable as possible, and perhaps as a female it can be seen as a man, a male dominated world, and we try to express it that doesn't have to be the case.
Do you find that there's any differences running an airfield as a woman as to maybe some of your male counterparts?
It can be a challenge at times. I think there is, within the industry without a doubt, it's always been male dominated, so you do come across some challenges with people's opinions, particularly being a young female or youngish, with Laura and myself, but we just try to do what we do to the best of our ability, and hopefully people can come to realize that, even if initially they're a bit worried about the fact that there's females behind the desk.
What advice then can you maybe give to some of our younger female listeners on how to come into the industry? I mean, not only are you a qualified pilot, but you're running an airfield. You can be a real role model to some of these younger girls. Any advice?
I would say, we've got a lot of young girls and boys training with us at the moment. We've got a couple of great young girls who are 14 that have just started. I think just come up, bring your family, bring your friends, come and say hi, go to your local airfield, just come up and sit and have a cup of tea and just get yourself comfortable and familiar with the surroundings. What we encourage people to do is come up and do a trial flight and experience flight with us. Yeah. There's absolutely no pressure on that. You just go up with your instructor, really enjoy yourself, see what it's all about. And then we give you all the information you wouldn't come back down. And we really try, particularly with the younger ones, to encourage them to come in, get involved with events. We encourage them to chat to each other on Facebook. Obviously, that's a good way of them all getting in touch. And we also do a student buddy scheme, as well as a solo hire buddy scheme, where we put them in touch with each other. They come up and sit in the back of each other's lessons. So they get to go up. Obviously, money's more of a factor at that age. So they get to go up for no extra cost, but just get a bit more involved in it.
Okay, well, let's talk about the aircraft then. You mentioned the Harvard. There's two out there at the moment, I see.
The one from Duxford's popped in for a visit today. Our Harvard, we got it back in I think June or July last year. Really excited about that, because obviously it's a really special aircraft, and the one that we're lucky enough to have is absolutely pristine. You'd be hard pushed to find a better cared for.
She sounds amazing.
And she sounds amazing, interesting. I think it was a few weekends ago, I was down at the beach, and it came down. Quite often does a fly down by the beach, because obviously it's beautiful down there, Poole Harbour and the Jurassic Coast and that. We were all giving the aircraft a wave, and the amount of people that were out on the beach that took photos and started asking where it was from and how they can get flights. It's really special, and it draws a real crowd.
Us what else is here.
So we've got the Tiger Moth, which we've been running for quite a few years now, really popular little experienced flight aircraft. We've got the Chipmunk, which we do dual training in, as well as you can solo hire it and experiences in that. We have the Microlites, and we've got the Piper Warriors, which we do a lot of training in, the majority of our training in those. And that all of those are available for experiences as well, just as one-off flights or training progressing through to renting them from us.
And you, when looking on the website, you've got the whole spectrum of training opportunities, from light aircraft right through to the Harvard tailwheel as well. Tell us about the hangarage and maybe some of the private opportunities to base aircraft here.
Yeah, so we've recently built another hangar. So we've now got four. We've got, possibly plans to build another one, because there's quite a lot of demand to come and base here. We've got plenty of outside parking. There's always room for more to come outside. But what's nice about here is that people are able to fly after hours as well. They're really welcome to come and base here and fly on the beautiful evenings when perhaps we're the prettiest at that time of day. And we're getting a new pay at pump fuel system in soon as well, which I think visiting pilots will be pleased to hear about. It'll be a lot easier to pick up fuel, and people that are based here can then get fuel afterwards. But hopefully what's special about being based here is the fact that people can bring up their family and friends, and everyone can be involved with it. So if somebody's particularly keen in flying, and their family can come up and share it with them as well. So everyone's welcome.
Yeah, I've had all my family's been here at some time or other. We've used some of the pleasure flights. And of course, I said I was lucky enough to go up in the Tiger Moth, which was very special for me. Let's just talk a little bit about general aviation then, because this does feel very successful in terms of being a local airfield. It's popular, it's attractive, and it is welcoming. And I'm not saying that because I'm here. I genuinely feel that. And most people walk around with a smile on their face when they're here. What's the sector like at the moment? How's it doing?
We had a big increase in students in the past couple of years. It is, I think you can see from whatever aviation magazines you pick up or talking about how the sector's doing, there are a lot of airfields under threat. It is challenging times. We've been going for a long time. We expect to be going for a lot longer. But it is tricky. Prices are increasing. Parts for aircraft are extortionately expensive. And there's quite a lot, really, that does make having a successful business in aviation, tricky.
How are pilots feeling about the sector?
I sometimes come here, see the visiting pilots. They seem very happy. It's a great place to fly into and visit if you're local. It's not that too far a stretch from London and some of the airfields there. What's the general feel from most of the pilots that are visiting on how general aviation is doing?
I think there's some concerns about the airfields that are supposed to be under threat at the moment. But I think with that also comes a bit of coming together of the industry and everyone trying to support each other, which is really important. Yeah. We've recently set up Compton, Popham and Goodwood and White Waltham actually were instrumental in setting this up. It's a new group, the Airfield Operators Group. So really within the GA world, there's not any sort of organisation at the moment that supports airfields in particular.
Yeah.
And we've all got our particular needs. It's really useful to share information, share ideas. And also if there is something that we find is perhaps being brought in as a rule or a regulation that might not quite work, we're well placed to know what that will be. And you know, it's proved to be a really helpful tool over the past year, and we're going to be extending
that. And the operation of the airfield, air ground radio, visiting pilots, what sort of guidance can you give to people who are thinking of flying here?
So we've got a visiting pilot section on our website. Obviously the police guides and those sort of things, have a little look at that. We do ask that people PPR. There's a few noise abatement bits and pieces. But essentially, well, we're just an airfield the same as any other, really. There's nothing particularly special or unusual in terms of coming in, but just having a look at the information on the website, really. Give us a call if there's any question.
So, Emma, we've talked about youngsters getting involved and some of the activities they can undertake. But recently we saw an advert and promoted that for some air ground radio operators and some training you were providing to do that. What other opportunities are there for people to get involved in the airfield?
So with the vintage fleet expanding here, we've got a fantastic team of volunteers and pilots, but we always are on the lookout for someone else to help out. You don't have to have any experience, but it's getting involved with looking after the aircraft, swinging the Tiger Moth, meeting and greeting our customers for the vintage flights. And if you are interested in getting involved with any of that or have any questions, it would be great if you wanted to get in touch via email.
And what can one get in return from being involved in those sorts of activities?
So it's just a lovely team to be involved in. Bob, who's one of our volunteers, has recently got into a chipmunk group that they've formed together. Tom's another one who has started learning to fly. He's managed to get quite a lot of experience and exposure to flying because people, you know, being around and getting to know him. He's gone up with a lot of people, been up in the Stinson, and the pilots have been able to get involved in going up in the Harbord. So, yeah, it's just a lovely thing. If you're really keen on vintage aircraft and aviation, it's hopefully a really great thing to be a part of.
Yeah, and if you're interested in getting into the industry, it wouldn't do any harm to have that on your CV, would it?
No, not at all. And we've got a huge variety of people that are here. We had Ben, who worked for us from the age of 16, starting off in washing up and finishing off in aircraft maintenance, and he's now a Ryanair pilot. So, the more exposure you get to the business, the more people you meet. There's loads of contacts here, so it's a great way to get into it.
And some of the instructors you've got have got some significant experience. I noticed there's certainly one with some airline experience and probably some great stories, but able to pass that experience on.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a variety of flying instructors at the moment, all ages and all sorts of backgrounds, from military to airline. And they're really helpful in passing on that information. And younger or not so younger people that want to get involved, it's just nice to see some fresh enthusiasm, and they're really happy to pass on knowledge and information for that.
And you mentioned being down on the beach and seeing the aircraft come down. What sort of sights can people see flying from Compton? It's close to Shaftesbury. We've got Cerne Abbas nearby. It's close to sea. Where do pilots tend to go visit when they fly here?
So popular routes, particularly for experienced flights or if people are taking friends and family up, is down to Poole Harbour, which is, well, on a nice day you can see as soon as you've got airborne from here.
Yeah.
And that's really stunning. The Jurassic Coast is absolutely beautiful, flying along the cliffs down there. And then popping abroad to Sandown is a really popular one over the sea for a cup of tea down there. So yeah, the local area, we're lucky to be in such a beautiful area that really wherever you go is going to be exceptional views.
And we mentioned some of the events coming up this summer, but you also encourage things like motorcyclists, and you have motorcycling events. You've got space further along from the car park for things like camping.
Yeah, we've got wing walking, which we've started doing from last year. Aerobatic Tactics come down and do a few days with us to do that. We've also linked up with a company that hires classic cars called Vintage Classics. So we do some really great packages where you can hire a car from there, drive up to us, have a flight, have some lunch and go back. So yeah, we're just trying to evolve what we do and get involved with more people and more local companies as well.
Okay. And where can we find out about the airfield online then?
So our website's got a lot of information on there. It's comptonabbasairfield.co.uk. We also regularly post on Twitter, also Facebook and Instagram. So if you want to keep up with what we're doing and find out about events that are coming up, then those are all a good place to start.
And you love photographs, don't you, taken at the airfield? You do share them, you do like them. So if anyone's down here, they should share their photographs.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a lot of people that come up quite regularly to get some snaps of the different aircraft. Yeah. We've really had quite an increase in unusual and particularly vintage aircraft over the past few years. So even on a day when we haven't got an event on, as long as the sun's shining, we'll have lots to see. But yeah, we love seeing photos that people have taken of the different aircraft in the airfield. So,
and you've also had a link with particularly the Navy and the historic flight. Sometimes you have talks in the evenings and events as well.
Yeah, we do. We've got quite a lot of links with the Navy, particularly with the Ovalton, the historic flight down there. So quite a few of the guys, we had Simon Wilson from the historic flight came up recently to do a chat for us. Some are members events only, but we've started opening up quite a few more to people round and about. So on the events section of our website, you'll be able to find more information about that. Some of them are free and some we use to try and raise money for organisations such as the historic flight.
Yeah. Now, historically, use that term while it's in my mind, you've also had some pretty decent calendars. Tell us about the Compton Girls and the calendars.
Yeah, so we started off a few years ago now. We wanted to raise some money for the air ambulance. So we did a calendar. We've got a lot of lovely girls that work in the cafe and restaurant side, and some lovely lady members as well. So we thought, well, we'll try and make the most of our assets as such, so the local views and the aircraft and some of the girls. So yeah, we made a calendar and managed to raise about £6,000 for the air ambulance, which was great. And then we also raised money for the historic flight. And we'll be planning another calendar for next year. So yeah, keep your eyes peeled for that.
That's definitely one to watch out for. Thank you very much for having us here today, and we hope that lots of people come down and visit you.
Yeah, thanks very much. Thanks for coming up.
Another flying magazine. The newsagents are stuffed with them. How can the aviation historian possibly be any different from the rest? Well, for a start, it's not a monthly, but a quarterly. It's compact format, not the usual A4, so it's great for reading in bed, in the bog, or in the bath. It doesn't cover the same old subjects, but tells you stuff you didn't already know. It's designed simply so it's easier to read, with no fussy backgrounds or overlapping images. And it's not in the newsagents at all. So check the website, theaviationhistorian.com, for more info. The Aviation Historian. It really is different from the rest.
Email us now. Get involved at aviation-extended.co.uk. And remember, there's no E at the beginning of extended. Aviation questions, suggested topics, or even good old feedback are all welcome.
Now I've done my bit and visited my local airfields, what are you going to do to support your local airfield? In the UK, New Zealand, Australia, the United States, we hear every day about the encroachment of housing and complaints about general aviation from the public. Let's hear your stories about supporting the sector and what you're doing to put a few pennies or hours of your time back and supporting general aviation. For me, on the last episode, we talked about aviation photography. Certainly at Compton and Hensridge, there are fantastic opportunities to photograph and get close to warbirds, unusual aircraft and helicopters. Before we go, we have a couple of great episodes in the pipeline for you, and we continue to work hard to bring you this content. Please can you do us the favour of giving us some feedback and support through iTunes or whatever other podcast player you use. If you download it directly from the website, then email us or leave some feedback there. We really need this, as particularly on iTunes, which traditionally is between 60 and 80% of our downloads, there's been no feedback recently, even though we've had lots of new listeners. So please help us out on this. Finally, for those listeners who are new, players like iTunes only list the last 10 episodes. That... That was a fast jet just going over my house. I'll leave that in. So I'll start that again. Finally, for those listeners who are new, players like iTunes only list the last 10 episodes. There's some great non-date sensitive content going back over the past few years on Cold War aircraft, space and historical aircraft that you might have missed out on. The full list can be found on the website, or drop me a line and we'll point you in the right direction. Okay, that's it. We'd like to thank White Hearts and Peter Dixon for their support in producing the show. The show is produced with a Creative Commons license. Before we go, let's hear a little more at Harvard at Compton and Abbas. And with the arrival of the music, it's goodbye from me, Peter Johnson, and on behalf of Gareth and Tim, stay tuned into this frequency. That is, of course, Aerospace Radio Station Extended.
Extended would like to thank its partners, Global Aviation Resource, the Royal Aeronautical Society and XTP Media, for their support in helping to present and produce the programme.
I'm in what some have described as the beautifulest aircraft... There you go. A beautifulest. Where did I get that from? There's a five-year-old saying for it.
Yeah.
Right, let's start that again. Right, 3, 2, 1.
Thanks for listening to Extended. We'll see you next time. And don't forget, we want you to contact us. So get involved at aviation-extended.co.uk is the email address you need. Extended.
This is XTP Media.